All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. You might be thinking, in order to grow a portfolio, you have to quit your job. What if you could build millions of dollars of assets without leaving a steady paycheck?
In today's episode, Nikki Valenzuela is going to show you how she was able to build a $42 million portfolio without leaving her 9-to-5. She breaks down three strategies you can start applying today in order to build your portfolio.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli. So Nikki, you have built a successful portfolio of over $42 million without quitting your job. So the question many want to ask is, how the hell you did that? So let's start with that piece. I'm sure there are different things that worked and different things that didn't work. So I want to break it down. What are the top three things that you did that worked for you to be able to continuing a successful career while building your real estate portfolio?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, there's a few things that really stuck out. I think number one is partnerships, looking at opportunities outside of my own realm of capabilities and being brought into those. That's enabled me to really scale while getting to experience different types of real estate opportunities or alternative investment opportunities that I wouldn't have had on my own. Another big piece to that is raising capital. So if I had relied on all of my own money, I would be nowhere near where I'm at today when it comes to my portfolio and the types of investments that I've invested in. So bringing other people into the fold, opening up the opportunities for them to be a part of the opportunity and also receive different returns has enabled me to scale. And then the last part, and maybe the most important, I'm not sure, but is the grind. So I always say that my job is my 9-to-5, but I also have a 5-to-9. So knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel, continuing to hustle and work hard has enabled me to have these opportunities, but also know that this will help create the freedom that I want and that I entered real estate for.
Nikki, that's great. There's so much that goes into partnerships and raising capital, right? Those are big topics, especially in this day and age. Let's start with partnerships. I really want to dive into partnerships for a moment. Help us understand, what was that first project that you partnered with someone else on? What did it look like? Let's get into the specifics so other women listening can get some strategies from you.
Absolutely. So I think just to back it up a little bit, I had been only in smaller multifamilies. I had purchased a 3-unit, did a BRRRR, then went into commercial, bought a 6-unit. And I knew at that point, in order to scale, I needed to figure out how to do something else. And syndications were all over podcasts at that point in time. It was a really good time to get into them. And so I actually had the opportunity to partner with a larger syndicator in Chicago on 2 projects, not 1, but 2. So they brought me in as a capital raiser, but then I was also helping with different components of the deal, construction, helping with the quarterly updates and other pieces of the relationship. But with that, I was able to get exposure and participate as a GP in 2 separate syndications in Chicago, one for an 18-unit building and then another for a 54-unit portfolio consisting mostly of 6 units. But that got my feet wet in syndication and exposed me to raising capital.
I want to know, what about you made the other person want to partner with you? Because I think that's a big stumbling block for so many investors. They don't think they can contribute enough if they haven't done the larger projects themselves as the main GP. So I'd love to understand, what were the skills? What was the experience? This seems like a savvy, you know, investor that attracted them to you wanting to work with you and bring you into the team.
Yeah, that at that point in time, if you asked me that question, I would probably say, I don't know. but looking back, it really was me just saying yes. I was brought an opportunity. They needed more capital. They needed more people to raise for them. And I went in head first. I had never raised capital before. I had only done two deals at that point in time. And I think just saying yes to an opportunity that's presented to you was the biggest thing. In addition, the reason why I was connected with these investors is because 7 years ago, I also said yes to an opportunity to help run the Chicago Multifamily Club. So that exposed me to a ton of investors. I was at every monthly event. I was coordinating every monthly event. And even though I started doing that event without any real estate experience, I just knew I wanted to get into that world. So saying yes to the opportunities that were presented to me enabled me to meet those investors and participate in their opportunities. But then also saying yes to them when they needed help gave me the opportunity as well. Although I didn't have experience, they took a chance on me and I said yes, that I could do it.
I want to still stay in the partnership theme here because many people got disappointed, to say the least, with different types of partnerships they had in their lives. And the last thing that they want to do is partner up with somebody that when things go south, people leave or people don't handle things and they have to hold everything on their back, right? So many women don't want to partner up because they believe that other people are not going to handle the situation as they would. So might as well do it by themselves. How was your mindset when you decided to partner up? How did you mitigate the risk?
So for me, it was a learning experience. And truthfully, I was somewhat disappointed by it because I didn't get as involved in the project as I wanted to. And it's because they had their own processes. And I realized pretty quickly, okay, the second one's going to be my last with them. And I can look at partnerships, other places where I can learn more. When it comes to doing everything yourself, I partner with my husband as well. And so that's a totally different story. We kind of had to segment our unique abilities out, and each person sticks with what they're good at, and we come together when we need to. But I also have had that mindset, I need to do everything myself. And that's where that separation of tasks came into play, is we realized, okay, we can't do everything by ourselves if we're planning to partner on this, and we need to figure out where our strengths are. And that took time. It wasn't, hey, you're good at this, I'm good at this, let's just separate here. It didn't work like that. But really figuring out where your strengths lie and then honing in on that as your core competency in the partnership is really important, because even though I have constantly had the mindset I can do it myself, I'm a sales professional, I do all of my sales myself. In real estate, that's not the case. You need a team to get things done. You have your team of attorneys, your brokers, insurance agents, and more. And if you don't have that core team, you're not going to be able to do a deal at all. So letting go of you doing everything yourself is really important if you want to get into real estate and scale.
I'm curious, though, what strengths have you leaned into even more to basically build, right, $42 million of a portfolio? Mm-hmm. You probably had a handful of strengths. And then as you're partnering and refining partnership, you're also refining your strengths. So six strengths is actually not what you need. You may need one or two. So I'm really curious, what have you leaned into even more as you scaled your portfolio that surprises you even? As like your core strength. I like to call it your core genius, but let's call it your core strength for now.
That's a really good question. I think I'm constantly refining that. And truthfully, a lot of it's with the help from being in Strive and looking at what my core strengths are. But when it comes to my core strengths, I have a few, and I think I'll just lean in on two. I'm extremely organized and can organize a deal from front to back, but then I'm also really good at delegating. So when it comes to the different pieces of a deal, I know exactly who I want to move a task to that maybe isn't my core strength, or I just don't want to do it. I've gotten really good at saying no to things I don't want to do and moving it to someone else. In that, I'm also good at building the SOPs for that. So if someone I'm bringing onto the team doesn't have experience in something, but I know they could be good at it, I'll give them an SOP. They can now do that task for me. So I guess it's three. It's organization, delegation, and building out the SOPs so other people can do things.
Nikki, you have come such a long way, because I do remember, and I'm so proud of you, of hearing you owning all the three strengths. I know you have much more, but you just pointed out three here that I think are very valuable. I remember during a Strive Hire retreat that I was reading somebody's bio, and it was all anonymous. We didn't know who was what. And it was like, this is the sentence that we read, people. I am dipping my toes into raising private money. I've raised $10 million so far. And the woman was like, what? Who is this person? What's going on over here? Like, dipping your toes. We dip our toes in like $5, right? $10 million.
We dip our toes in the water.
You're right. I dip my toes in the water, right? But how were you able to come such a long way? They're like, yeah, I create SOPs. And many women are like, what are you talking about? Standard operating procedures. And then really running a successful business and owning who you are. I think a lot of women dim their light, don't own who they really are and what they have done. How were you able to shift?
Yeah. And it's funny when you mentioned that, I totally remember that and being almost embarrassed to share that with the group. And it was dimming my own light. It was having an inferiority complex and that I maybe was small potatoes. And just being in a network of all women who talk about what they're accomplishing has been huge for me. You go into a networking event and it's co-ed and you see guys talking about like the one property that they bought and they're so proud of that. And you hear a woman on the other side of the fence who is like, oh, I only have one property. And so I think it's kind of a mindset shift of knowing that you're kicking ass, that you are doing big things. Every step of the way, every step of your real estate journey is a big accomplishment, because a lot of people just give up and they quit after zero success. But if you can continue that journey, every single step is a stepping stone in your story. And I just surrounded myself through Strive Investor with women who are kicking ass, and it made me realize, dang, I'm really kicking ass. And so the light bulb went off.
You mentioned that being part of a mentorship program, which you're part of Strive Mentorship, has accelerated your journey. And so being around like-minded women, having those conversations, can you give us an example of, you know, a moment, a conversation, something, an event that happened for you that you were like, okay, I'm here and I want to be there. And this is what I'm going to do differently. How has being part of Strive helped you get there and accelerate your journey?
There's so many moments, so it's hard to pick one. But I honestly think that it was the first investor con that I went to. I almost didn't go. I had a personal situation right before it, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go. And I ended up going, and it was the best decision ever. When I walked into investor con, I just felt safe. I felt like I was in an environment where I could be myself, and I was surrounded by people who were doing incredible things and things that I want to do, things that I have done. So there were people that I could learn from and people that I could help. it just felt like an amazing community. And then Liz, I actually spoke with you after one of the presentations and was talking about Strive, and it just felt like the right community for me. I've been introduced to many other communities. I did do a mastermind before that was co-ed. It was actually all men. So I was the only woman, and it just wasn't the right fit for me. This is a community where I have met my best friends here. Truthfully, I still have my best friends from like childhood, but, the women that I speak with on a weekly basis are my Strive women, and they're all different ages. They come from all walks of life. And I just feel empowered every time I talk to them versus standard gossip. We're talking about things that we're doing, things that we're working on, our goals. And that makes a huge difference, because if you're goal oriented and your friends are, you continue to chase those goals every single day, every single week. And that's something that I didn't have before. I didn't have the community of strong women that I truly needed.
It's funny, right? Because many, many women are hyper independent, and we know we can do it because we have done it and we have a successful business. But it gets to a point where, who is in your board? Who do you call? I can call my mom. When things go south, I cannot call my mom. I cannot call Aunt Sally, that I don't have an Aunt Sally.
You don't have an Aunt Sally. But if you did, you would not call
her. I wouldn't call Aunt Sally either. Right. Neither my neighbor, neither the people that I might have, you know, home from past friendships. And I am not a person that I am looking around for new friends. So it's very hard, right, to create that board. And I think that Liz and I were very intentional with everything that we do, either InvestorCon or regional events, Strive. We want to put together women that are on the same level, so women don't feel that they're always pouring into others and nobody pours into them. We want to create that board of advisors where you can really rely on them, because you don't need to pull people, right? You're with each other, locking arms and moving forward. It creates such a great language of like, okay, SOPs, playing the arena. We all know what we're talking about. But one thing that I want to bring to you is time management, right? When we're living an abundant life, there is a lot that we want to do. And there's a lot of different types of commitments. How were you able to deal with only having 24 hours in your day?
Well, I wish I had 48, but we don't. So we make the best of what we have. And for me, it's really about time blocking. If I time block, I need to stick to that so I can get the things done that I've prepared to do. I also use different tools like ClickUp. ClickUp has helped me tremendously. Not only do I have my own to-do list and I can put in when they have to be, those tasks need to be done, but I can tag my VA in specific tasks and not even have to talk to her. I have a full daily to-do list for my VA, so I've completely offloaded most of property management to her. And then also I have another to-do list. So, outside of that, my daily to-do list. So I'm very, very structured in what I need to do. And I make sure to prep every single day ahead of time, the night before, to ensure that I'm set up for success and maximizing my time each day.
Nikki, you were born a structure person based on your personality assessment and everything we know about you. For all the ladies that are listening, is like, I don't even know where my socks are or where what's going on in different lines, because they also feel that with a lot of structure, they're put in a box and they're not comfortable with that. They want to have more freedom. They want to have more places to create, go with the flow. And I completely get it. Don't understand, but get it, right? So there is a resistance towards that. And they're not good at it. They make the list, but they don't look at the list because they don't know where the list is or whatever. They have several lists and they're just creating a pile of different lists.
Hey, be nice.
If you can relate, just put like me on the chat. No. Well, here's the point that I want to make. You know, we're not asking people to really be like strained, but we all have 24 hours, right? So what would be your recommendation for everybody that wants to have the freedom of time but are not okay with such a structured schedule?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it reminds me of my husband. We're very opposite in the organization space. And so what I've recommended to him is look at your top three things. If you could move the needle with anything today, what are the top three things that you need to get done in order to do that? And who cares about the rest? Like, that's all extra, right? And if you can get to it, great. But if you can do the top three things and start with them, like just focus on those first, get them done, and then you can do whatever else you need to do. And it really doesn't matter if you're organized or not for that, because you can keep track of three things or the top one thing, but just get those top things done and then the rest will follow.
And I think the other part of this too is to delineate between a personality trait and a skill. Organization needs to be part of everyone's skill set on some level, whether you have people to help you, whether you have apps to help you. So it's not like, oh, I don't ever need that. However, how do you do it in the way that works for your own personality and your own life so that you can thrive and not feel bad if you're not doing this or that? So I love that you've created that for yourself, and also have the language with your partner, because it sounds like you guys are different in that sense. And I'm sure he's helped you, right, in different areas and allowing for that. I have a question about that. So the two of you are now, as you're moving into new construction, right? You've mentioned that quite a bit. And I know many people, right, are doing a lot of different types of new construction projects. What are those roles that you have between you and your husband? Are you both equally involved in those new construction projects? Tell us a little bit about that right now, because it's top of mind that's happening for you.
Yeah, a lot of my time, it revolves around that right now. Initially, he was leading that, actually. He's an ideas guy, and he loves looking at what's around us and what's an opportunity, and generally brings it to me to vet. And so we jumped in head first with a friend who is doing construction in Florida and provided the capital. So that was our step in the door, another partnership opportunity, another capital opportunity. We realized that this is a really good space to be in right now, but we don't know Florida. And we want to do this in our backyard, and we're from Chicago. Our majority of our portfolio is there. And so we were looking for opportunities to do this in Chicago. And one of our really good friends who we've known for 7 years or so, who has a great construction background, really successful history, was looking for a partner. And so RJ had initially created that relationship. However, I saw so much opportunity in his skill, our partner's skill, and my ability to support it. And so I came to him with a proposal. Hey, I want to lead the front end. I want to lead the back end of all of this. You're the construction expert. You stick with that. But this will offload a lot of those responsibilities from you. And so now I loop my husband into projects when I say, hey, we need additional capital. Who can you bring to the table? But I'm finding the deals. I'm funding them. I'm running the entire front end acquisitions process. And then on the sales side, I have my broker's license in Illinois, so I can sell it. And then we have some really top tier luxury products. So we've also partnered with the number one luxury broker in Chicago to help us sell those top tier single family homes that we have.
First, I love that you're like, this is how I can add value. This is my place here. Let's go. And you get out of the way. You get out of the way.
And you do this, and this. Follow my SOPs. Thank you very much. I'll be back.
Yeah. Have a good day. I'm going to go get a coffee refill. No, I love that first and foremost. I love that you own, number one, you see an opportunity and you know how you can add value in that opportunity. That's really important right now. My question is, why new construction? You've done a lot of different things. You've built a very successful portfolio, but why new construction and why now?
So we've pivoted a lot. And I say we because I do pretty much everything with my husband, but went from initially multifamilies in Chicago to building a construction business to flips to syndication to cannabis. And we've gone where the opportunities are. And so as the market has tightened up on multifamily in Chicago, and we're not seeing the returns that we were seeing in between 2017 to 2021, we pivoted. And that's what brought us to cannabis. And what brought us back to new construction is we're seeing those returns. We're specifically looking in these premier markets in Chicago. We're buying distressed properties, which are tough to find, but we're doing the due diligence and finding them, and then tearing them down and building these beautiful homes in these beautiful neighborhoods where you can get a really, really great return. And so that's what led us there, is the ability to find incredible returns. And I think that's going to keep us there until things change. The market constantly changes. And I think one of the things that has added to the success is being able to pivot when there have been changes.
Just to connect the dots, Nikki, on what you're saying, new construction, I know for a lot of what I'm seeing and involved in, that has been the play. We have five different new construction projects going on because existing multifamily is just overpriced and the numbers just don't work. So the pivot is key. And I love that you're saying that you're finding neighborhoods that are still penciling out from an outsell perspective. So it's what you're buying it for, what you're able to sell it for, seeing the same thing. I'm seeing the same thing on the East Coast. So it's very consistent, right? We always say real estate's hyper-local, but what you just said is happening in so many different places. It's not just happening in Chicago. So there's an opportunity for everyone listening, right? Where do I have to pivot to that makes sense now? So I love that. Nikki, where can all the listeners learn more about you and follow you on your journey?
You can follow me on Instagram at Nikki the Investor or online at mvrcapital.us.
Awesome. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. Nikki, pleasure. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Nikki.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.